Two helicopter pilots are rescued quickly after their chopper gets hit in Iraq. NTSB fills in details on a citation down in Lake Michigan. And Crossbow Technologies releases a mandatory service bulletin. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 6th, 2007. An OH-58 Kiowa attack helicopter was downed by insurgent ground fire south of Baghdad Monday, but the two pilots suffered only minor injuries and were rescued quickly by the crew of an AH-64 Apache. The Kiowa pilots were attempting to flush out insurgents when they had to descend to avoid tracer rounds, then were hit with rounds fired from behind them. The Washington Post reports the pilots, Chief Warrant Officer 2 Mark Burrows, age 35, and Chief Warrant Officer 2 Stephen C. Infrini, age 27, then took cover in a canal. As the pair started sinking in the mud under their heavy armor and insurgents descended on their position, C. Infrini recalls, quote, "We couldn't move. I was thinking, this is it." Burrows added, quote, "I was just praying they didn't see us," unquote. Then came that welcome sound, a couple of Apaches from the 1st Cavalry Division. One provided cover with a 30mm Gatling gun. The other touched down to retrieve the Kiowa pilots. But an Apache only has two seats. So one of the Apache pilots strapped himself to one side of the helicopter's exterior, and Burrows did the same on the other side, allowing C. Infrini to use the available interior seat. The Post reports that military helicopters in Iraq are attacked about 100 times each month by insurgents using heavy machine guns, rocket-propelled grenades, and shoulder-fired missiles. About 17 of those helicopters are hit. The National Transportation Safety Board issued an update on Thursday on its investigation of last month's crash of a Cessna Citation II 550 business jet into Lake Michigan. As ANN reported, on June 4th at 4:10 p.m. Central Time, a Citation leased from Marlin Air Incorporated as an air medical flight for the University of Michigan Health System went down in Lake Michigan shortly after takeoff from General Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Both flight crew members and all four passengers died. The aircraft was on an instrument flight plan for the 42-minute flight to the airplane's base in Willow Run Airport in Ypsilanti, Michigan. A review of voice communications and recorded radar data revealed that the flight crew reported an emergency and their intention to return to Mitchell shortly after takeoff. One crew member reported that they had experienced a runaway trim. In a later transmission, a pilot was heard telling another to hold the airplane's control so he could pull circuit breakers. Radar data shows erratic climbs during the first 2 minutes of the flight, then a descending left turn for the remaining 69 seconds. The debris field was located less than 2/10 of a nautical mile southeast of the last radar return. The cockpit voice recorder was recovered, and a transcript is being prepared. Avionics are being examined to see if non-volatile memory can provide more clues. NTSB is receiving assistance from the FAA, Cessna, Marlin Air, Pratt & Whitney, and Honeywell. Aero News learned on Wednesday that Crossbow Technologies has released a service bulletin affecting some of its nav systems. The NAV-420 family combines inertial and GPS sensors in a sealed, EMI-resistant package and is used to provide data to displays and autopilots. The service bulletin was issued because under specific GPS satellite conditions, the NAV-425 EX-100 model may output bad data, leading to inaccurate bank and heading indications. The condition can be detected by comparison to backup mechanical attitude indicators, a magnetic compass, or the outside horizon if flying VFR. A firmware upgrade has been developed to address the problem. The service bulletin is mandatory for IFR operations using the 425 EX-100 and optional for VFR. All versions of the NAV-425 EX-200 are covered under a separate bulletin. You'll find more details in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. NASA's hapless Dawn space probe just can't catch a break. Behind schedule, over budget, ultimately canceled in 2006. Restored at the pleading of scientists in 2007. Damaged by a dropped wrench in June. Threatened by problems with its Delta II launch vehicle a week ago. Now, it's at the mercy of Florida weather. Thunderstorms brought a lightning advisory for the launch pad at Kennedy Space Center, which has delayed fueling the Delta II. The latest from project managers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory on Thursday night was that fueling might be possible on Friday. But the weather outlook for the launch window, which now starts at 4 p.m. Sunday, was a 60% chance for a weather scrub. Hopefully, the probe has a better time in space than it's had on Earth. Up next on ANN, 2,000 feet of cabin pressure makes a world of difference. NTSB says a lost turbine blade brought down a tour helicopter. And better management of approaches can cut CO2 emissions by 20%. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Hey, if you're into airplanes the way I am, you have got to see this new TV show. I'm Tom Gresham, and I'm the host of Wings to Adventure Television. It's on the Outdoor Channel, and we shoot it all in high definition. Listen, we go to great fly-in destinations. We show wonderful airplanes, whether it's the latest glass panel composite speedster or a really cool old antique cloth cover deal. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're into airplanes the same way that you are. It's called Wings to Adventure. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Check it out at wingstoadventure.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 6th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. A new study published on Thursday in the New England Journal of Medicine concludes that increasing the air pressure in airliner cabins from the equivalent of 8,000 feet to 6,000 may be significant in reducing passenger discomfort, especially during long flights. The study was funded by Boeing and put 502 men and women of varying ages in chambers pressurized to barometric pressure levels equivalent to 650, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, and 8,000 feet. Subjects stayed there for 20 hours. Researchers said there were no detrimental health effects found at any of the pressure settings, but comfort was a different story. Between 7,000 and 8,000 feet, there were more complaints of discomfort than at all other altitudes combined. Younger people had more comfort complaints than older people, and more men reported discomfort than women. Boeing's new 787 Dreamliner, which will have its formal introduction this Sunday in Everett, Washington, will be capable of maintaining cabin pressure equivalent to 6,000 feet. Forbes quotes the company in saying that the plane's composite fuselage makes the improvement possible and that attempting to maintain such pressures in aluminum aircraft could hasten fatigue and compromise structural integrity. The National Transportation Safety Board has determined that a fatigue failure of a turbine blade brought down a tour helicopter in Hawaii last year. A Sunshine Helicopter's Eurocopter AS-350BA crash-landed into a canopy of trees on January 10, 2006 in Maui after departing Kahului Airport for a one-hour sightseeing tour. According to the NTSB probable cause report, quote, the helicopter vibrated, shuddered, and the low rotor RPM warning horn sounded. The pilot entered auto rotation and set it down in a canopy of trees on its right side, according to the report. All aboard were able to lower themselves to the ground and call for help. The NTSB investigation revealed a turbine blade from the second stage gas producer turbine had separated from the turbine wheel, a result of a fatigue fracture caused by a corrosion or oxidation pit. As a result, engine manufacturer Turbomeca reduced the life limit of the second stage turbine blades from 6,000 hours to 3,000 and implemented additional inspection criteria. The part in question in the accident had been in service 2,986 hours and had been used as a replacement part during a 2004 overhaul. Here's a term you'll be hearing in the environmental debate, ACDA, or Advanced Continuous Descent Approach. It has recently been okayed in Europe for Boeing 737s using GE Aviation's flight management system. Precise trajectory information is downlinked to controllers from the aircraft, which in turn lets controllers manage approaches to allow planes to cut engine thrust to idle from cruise all the way to the landing. Experience gained through testing in Sweden was the basis for the approval in Europe. The ACDA technique can cut emissions of CO2 and oxides of nitrogen by about 20% compared to traditional arrival procedures. GE points out that the atmosphere is not the only winner. The company says ACDA allows more efficiency in managing air traffic, saves fuel, and dramatically reduces noise. AeroNews has learned that the VH-71 helicopter made its maiden flight at Augusta Westlands facility in the UK on Tuesday, marking a significant milestone in the development of the United States' next presidential aircraft. During the 40-minute flight, Augusta Westland Chief Test Pilot Don McLean and Senior Test Pilot Dick Truman performed general aircraft handling checks, tested flight characteristics at varying speeds up to 135 knots, and evaluated the avionics. The helicopter is scheduled for operations starting in late 2009. Stephen C. Moss, who's president of Augusta Westland North America, commented, quote, "We should all be proud of this accomplishment as we look forward to the day when these helicopters are landing on the south lawn of the White House," unquote. The new Marine One will be an Oval Office in the sky, ferrying the President and Vice President of the United States, heads of state, and other official parties both at home and abroad. Aircraft final assembly will be by Bell Helicopter in Texas, with mission-specific outfitting by Lockheed Martin Systems Integration in New York. Still ahead, a small U.S. airport beefs up security quickly following the Glasgow incident. Japan's Air Force and Navy get new planes. And three surfers in a Cessna pick up an F-16 Escort. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 6, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Quincy Mosby, manager of the Barnstable Municipal Airport in Hyannis, Massachusetts, reacted quickly to news of last Saturday's attempted SUV bombing of Scotland's Glasgow Airport. On Monday morning, Mosby had already had crews place three portable 10-foot concrete barriers in front of his airport's main entrance. Arriving passengers who commented to the Cape Cod Times newspaper seemed to feel the danger at Barnstable was remote and the barriers largely symbolic. Josh Reed, who was there to catch a flight to Nantucket, noted that the terminal's side entrance was still unprotected. Quote, "If someone wanted to blow this up, a barrier won't stop them," unquote. Eric Abel, a spokesman for the State Executive Office of Transportation, told the paper that state and federal funds are available for airport renovations, which include new safety features. He said the money is provided to even small airports as long as they handle commercial traffic and make the necessary applications. The Japanese military unveiled completed prototypes of its next-generation cargo and patrol aircraft Wednesday at a Kawasaki Heavy Industries factory. Kawasaki says it's been the lead contractor for development, which started in 2001. Both aircraft are jets. Japan's Navy will get the PX to replace the propeller-driven P-3C. The CX cargo plane will replace the Japanese Air Force's C-1 and be a huge improvement. The older jet, also being made by Kawasaki, entered service in 1971 and has a range of about 930 miles. The CX should triple that while offering improved fuel efficiency. The International Herald Tribune reports the PX has new radar and sonar systems that improve detection capabilities. Kawasaki says, watch for the CX to go into service in March of 2011, with the PX to follow in August. On Wednesday afternoon, U.S. Customs and Border Protection radar operators were tracking an aircraft flying south over Mexican airspace. When it turned and headed north toward the U.S. border, the Cessna 172 picked up an escort from a pair of F-16s. The Associated Press reports that the fighter pilots could not make radio contact with the Cessna, but did succeed in using hand signals to direct the 172's pilot to land at Oceanside Airport. There, the three men on board the small plane were met by local police, San Diego County Sheriff's deputies, Customs and Border Patrol agents, and even a bomb-sniffing dog. The three told the authorities that they'd been on their way to a surfing trip in Baja California when the Cessna developed engine trouble. When their story checked out, the men were released. And finally, if the military scenes in the new feature film Transformers look realistic, that may be because the producer had the cooperation of the Defense Department. More than 300 airmen and numerous aircraft made the final cut. The movie combines live action with computer-generated imagery. Producer Ian Bryce said, quote, "We're proud of the fact that almost every military role, including extras, was played by military or ex-military personnel," unquote. Transformers was also the first motion picture permitted to film in and around the Pentagon grounds since 9/11. When filming was completed, cast and crew members were invited to visit and pay respects at the private 9/11 Memorial Chapel. Air Force aircraft played a huge role by providing security during the filming. In one scene, an F-22 Raptor turns into an evil transformer called Starscream. As you might expect, screenings for military personnel have been a huge hit. Chief Master Sergeant Mike Gasparetto is stationed at the Pentagon. Quote, "The special effects were amazing, and there was even a good plot to go with it. The movie accurately depicted life in the military, and I think it's a great recruiting tool," unquote. Army Sergeant Charles Eggleston, a Walter Reed patient, is back from duty in Iraq and offered a somewhat left-handed compliment to the movie. Quote, "It's funny that with all the movies out there, it took a movie about alien robots invading the planet to get the military stuff right," unquote. John Voight, who's a seasoned actor who appears in the movie, praised the job done by the military personnel in the film. Quote, "They set the bar pretty high. They are the real heroes." And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Ron Schreck, a North Carolina pilot who celebrated Independence Day on Wednesday by landing his RV-6 at all 109 public-use airports in the state in less than 20 hours. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.